If you are able, please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Gospel according to John, chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. Let us hear this word of the Lord. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." And they replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Yeah, the money changers and those who sold cattle and sheep and doves in the temple, they were ripping the people off. They were preying on their need for sacrifices. They were preying on their need to make change for offerings. And so they were taking advantage of people. And they it says that in another version, says that they... Jesus drove them out, saying that they had turned his father's house into a den of thieves. You know, it's not like when you're selling stuff out here to support missionaries or camping or something like that. That doesn't have to do with worship. That's separate. But what they were selling, they were ripping people off, taking advantage of their need for things to worship with. Really, really wrong. So even though they appeared to be helping people, they weren't. Things are not always what they seem to be. Yeah, there were two angels who came down to earth, and they decided to walk around and see what kind deeds they could do. And so they spent the day traveling through the countryside and helping out people here and there. And came to the end of the day, they had traveled far, and they were hungry and weary, and they went up to a really fine-looking house. It was a beautiful place. Big estate, knocked on the door, and they explained that they were travelers looking for some lodging for the night. And the owner of the house, him and his wife, said, "Oh, well, you know, I guess you guys can come in." And so this younger angel and older angel went in, and the rich man and his wife gave them some real thin soup and a couple crackers. And they said, "You can stay in our bedroom that we have downstairs in the basement all the way in the back." And this basement was dank and dark and cold. So they went down there, and as they were getting ready to go to bed, the older angel saw a hole in the wall. And he looked in the hole in the wall, and then he got stuff, and he patched that hole. And they went to bed. And then the next morning they got up and they left, and the younger angel looked at the older angel, and he said, "You know, those people weren't very nice at all. They weren't generous. They were actually kind of greedy. Why did you help them out?" And the older angel said, "Things are not always what they seem to be." And so they continued on their way, and they helped out people here and there. And by the end of the day, they were weary again, looking for a place to stay. And there was an old farmhouse, and they went up to it and knocked on a door and asked for lodging and a meal. And there was an old farmer and his wife, and they didn't have much, but they invited the travelers in, and they shared with them what little food they had. And they told the angels, they said, "You sleep in our bed tonight. You get a good night's rest. We'll be okay out here." And so they went to bed in this couple's bedroom, and they get up the next morning, and they heard the farmer and his wife standing outside crying. In the field, a cow lay dead, their only cow, their milk cow, and that's how they made their money. by selling the milk. And as they left, the younger angel said to the older angel, I don't get it. You could have prevented that. You could have stopped that from happening. And the older angel said, things aren't always what they seem. And he says, well, explain to me why you fixed a hole at a rich man's house and here you let their cow die. And the older angel said, at the rich man's house, he was so greedy, he had so much and he didn't know how to share it. When I looked in that hole, I saw there was gold in that wall. He said, so I patched the hole in the wall so he wouldn't have even more things to be greedy with. He said, and for the cow that lay dead, he said, during the night, the angel of death came for the farmer's wife, and I gave him the cow instead. He said, things aren't always what they seem to be. And things aren't. Jesus said that he said, tear down this temple and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. And of course, they just started thinking about the 46 years of construction. All the sweat and labor and material that went into it. They were looking at circumstances. But things weren't what they seemed to be because that wasn't what Jesus was talking about, right? He was talking about his own body. Things aren't always what they seem to be. Losing can be winning in God's eyes. Yeah. When you're driving down the road and you see the sign that says get over and people go right by you and they won't get over. Instead, they're getting as far down the line as they can. And when you get to that point where they want to get in, do you stop and let them in? Man, you tighten up, don't let them in. I know, God, I know. Tighten up, teach them a lesson. But I stop and let them in because, you know, things aren't always what they seem. Now, other drivers would look at me and say, what a loser. Why would you let them in? Losing can be winning in God's eyes. Losing an argument, or better yet, not even arguing at all, even when you know you're right, can be winning in God's eyes. Losing a game on purpose. I don't know about you, but my mom did that all the time when I was growing up. She'd always lose games to us. It wasn't what it seemed to be. You know, we would be eating, there'd be just a couple pieces of chicken left or just a few fries left, and she'd all of a sudden say, I'm not hungry. You know, and I always thought she wasn't. I always thought, oh, more, good, more for me, you know, and my siblings. You know, looking back, I realized that things weren't what they seemed to be. And that's the way God operates. You know, it talks about it there in 1 Corinthians that the power of the cross is to them who perish foolishness. People look at Christianity and they think we're just a bunch of idiots. You know, they're always trying to put us down and shut us up. And they think that we're a bunch of weak, crippled people who need a crutch, and we call that Jesus. Well, guess what? We do need that crutch. But it takes more strength to be a lamb than it does to be a lion. It takes more strength to willingly sacrifice yourself, to sacrifice your reputation, to lose the game than to win the game. If we give in to our emotions and we let those emotions just rule us, you know, that's easy. We can be Hulk. Hulk smash. Hulk destroy. Ooh, just run wild. But things are not always what they seem to be. You got to watch out for those people who are mild-mannered and who turn the other cheek, who back off real quick, who let you cut in line. You watch out for them. They're powerful people. Things are not always what they seem to be. And losing, sometimes getting sick, sometimes losing a job. I'm going to tell you, sometimes something breaking down. We think it's such a terrible thing, but it's not always what it seems to be. I worked at Bucyrus Erie in Glassport, steel mill and a foundry. And during that time, we had Justin and then we had Jacob, just two of the four. I think we had Hannah too. Yeah, because then we had Caleb when we went to Morgantown. So we had three kids, we bought a brand new car, a Plymouth Horizon 5-speed, good on gas, little thing. And we bought a house in McKeesport on Atchison Street. And our parents came down and looked at the house we bought, and it was just a little thing, needed some work, actually needed a lot of work, and they cried. Yeah. Look what they got themselves into. To us, it was a castle, right? Just a little, had a separate two-car garage, fenced-in yard, and it had a cellar. You had to go outside to get to it. But I cut a hole in the kitchen floor, and then I took that part of the kitchen floor and turned it into a door, and with a hook that we would raise it up and hook it on the wall, and you can go down, and I put steps in, you can go down the steps into the basement, which, you know, Justin was in one of those things that the kids scoot around in, and I was downstairs one day, and he came flying down the steps on that. Yeah, he was okay. Scared the life out of all of us, but, you know. But life was good. The kids were coming along. New car, got this house. And then Bucyrus Erie led the way. They were one of the first mills to close up. Said they would transfer all of us to new factories out west. They never transferred anybody. And we ended up losing our house, repossessed by the mortgage company. We lost our car. We had to turn it back into Mellon Bank. Couldn't afford anything. We had to go on food stamps to get the kids treated by the doctors. We had to have access cards, and times were tough. But things are not always what they seem to be. We eventually declared bankruptcy. Times were so tough. I want to tell you what, losing that job was one of the best things that ever happened to me. Ended up going to Morgantown, working for Peter Prokopchuk, and he had a big dealership, owned a bunch of different brands. I was down there first, and Bonnie and the kids were still back home in this house that was going to be repossessed. And I was staying with a friend in his mobile home, and Peter Prokopchuk, the owner of the business, he introduced me to Bud Newbro. One morning he said, "Bruce, I want you to be Bud Newbro. He's going to help you out with your housing." And Bud was standing there in a pair of coveralls, flannel shirt, work boots, gray hair, all ruffled up. Looked like a farmer just come in out of the field. And he says, "So you need someplace to live?" I says, "Well, yes, sir, me and my family." And he says, "All right." He says, "Come with me. I'm going to show you something." And right down the road there in Saberton, there was a mobile home park. And he showed me a mobile home, 3-bedroom mobile home. There were 6 of them in this little park, a little stream that ran behind it, within walking distance of work. And I said, "Well, that's really nice." I said, "But what's the rent?" I said, "We can't afford much. I just started working here." And he said, "Oh, you're better off buying it." I said, "Oh, I can't buy it. I don't have any credit or anything." And he says, "When did you get in trouble?" I said, "Well, after the mills closed down." I said, we paid our bills as long as we could, and then we had to turn the house back. And he said, "But you did what you could when you could, right?" And I said, "Yep." He said, "Meet me at the bank tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in Saberton." Anybody here know Bud Newbro? Okay. I met him the next morning, 9 o'clock in the bank in Saberton. We walked in the bank together. He waved at the tellers, walked right past them into the president's office without even knocking. And I'm thinking, "Well, who is this guy?" I followed him in there. We get in there, and the president was on the phone. He hung up the phone. He said, "Hi, Bud." And he said, "Hi." And he said, "Give this young man a loan." And he turned around and walked out. And the bank president said, "Well, have a seat." He said, "Do you know who that is?" I said, "Bud Newbro." He said, "I don't know anything about him other than his name." And he said, "Next to Rockefeller, he's the most richest man in this West Virginia." And he says, "Bud says gives you a loan." He says, "You get a loan." Amazing. You know, how God takes things that happen to us that seem so terrible and make them work out for our good. Romans 8:28. For we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Things are not always what they seem to be, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're struggling with. Things are not always what they seem to be. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. We've got to change the way we do things, the way we walk. We say we're Christians and we walk by faith. It's time to prove it. We're to believe in the things that we don't see. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. First Corinthians chapter 1, 18 through 25, which Tracy read. The power of the cross is to them who perish foolishness, but to those of us who believe, who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Lean not onto your own understanding. Hey, you can't. As a Christian, you and I have favor with God and man. I have favor with God and man. Say that. Say, I have favor with God and man. Okay, say it one more time.
I have favor with God and man.
That's the word of God. That's Bible. Things are not always what they seem, no matter what you're going through. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I'm telling you, there's a silver lining to everything. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for our good. Good and bad alike. He turns them inside out. So things are not always what they seem to be. Listen, he was whipped within an inch of his life. They didn't even recognize him. The Bible says he was unrecognizable. Whipped, beaten, reputation ruined, dragged up on a hill, nailed to a cross, a spear stuck in his side, and they said he was dead. Things are not always what they seem to be. God loves you, and so do I.